Well, good morning, everyone. And it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's so good to be together after almost a year for many of you. It was so nice to see many of you coming in from the outer islands and even on this island. And want to welcome those that are joining us online. I know that Pastor Lonnie is joining us from the Big Island and others. I don't have my screen up there, but it would be nice to have a screen. But, you know, it's so exciting. You know, I told Pastor Lonnie, I said, I miss you, but the next best thing is Zoom. Hallelujah. And we all know that that's one of the words that we've learned a lot about is Zooming this past year. And but I believe, how many of you were blessed last night by the message by Rick DeBose? Wasn't that powerful? Well, you don't want to miss tonight because Pastor Choco, he's just going to bring the house down. We were blessed by his message on Sunday morning, and Pastor Rick spoke Sunday night, and I believe it's God ordained. They were scheduled to come last year, but, you know, things worked out. But I'm glad that they still were able to make our conference this year. But I believe our theme is very prophetic. I believe God is calling the church in the afternoon. You know, right in the midst of all that we're going through, this is not a time for the church to sit back. This is not a time for the church to retreat. And this is a time for the church to rise up and stand. And I just want to share along that theme this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you open there, it says in verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith. In the faith, be brave. Say, be brave. Be strong. And let all that you do be done with love. So stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. And that's really, I believe, God's word to us this morning. Alexander Hamilton says, those who stand for nothing will fall for anything. And so we have to know in whom we believe. We have to know what we believe and in whom we believe and stand on the word of God. And we live in a time when standing for God is and standing for truth has become unpopular. And especially among Christians who are successful and who are in the marketplaces and they're being canceled out. And but this is the environment that we live in. And I believe that's why there needs to be a resolve in our hearts that we will not back down, that we will stand firm in the Lord. And in August of 2020, during the pandemic, it was the beginning of the reboot of the NBA season, I read an article that really caught my attention, and the article was written about Jonathan Isaac, a forward for the Orlando Magic, the headlines wasn't about his play on the court, but the headlines was about him, what he was not wearing, and standing rather than kneeling. And I saw that, and I said, wow, that is amazing to stand in the midst of all that was going on among his teammates and in national, you know, with the eyes of the nation looking upon him, he's taking a stand. And he's the only one that's standing during the national anthem and the only player not wearing the Black Lives Matter T-shirt. And what caught my eye and caught my attention was not his political stance. So this is not a political issue for me, but it was his Christian stand. Because this is what he said. Kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt didn't go hand in hand with supporting Black Lives, Isaac said. I believe that my life has been supported through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone is made in the image of God. You see, Isaac is a faithful Christian who has preached publicly and served, preached and served in many occasions the Lord and witnessed his faith. And after the game, he was interviewed by some reporters where, you know, why he took a stand. And the reporters asked him, you know, if you really believe that Black Lives Matter. And he says, absolutely. He says, and then he goes on to describe his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that drove him to make a decision. And he shared Jesus, how Jesus died upon the cross, and that was the solution for the race problem, because everything, whether it's race, whether it's the other social issues, can be traced back to the sinfulness of humanity, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can set us free. And but when you think about what he did, it took courage for him to stand. What would you do in a situation? Would you rationalize and say, "Well, you know, God, you understand"? For him, it took courage to stand alone among his teammates in front of the crowd, before a whole national audience. And but here's the point: many would think that his stand for God would result in God's favor, and I believe it do. But you know, it does. But during that season, it didn't turn out the way he thought, because just days after, Isaac was injured during a game, and he had torn his ACL, and so he was out for the entire season. And in fact, a host on ESPN did a running poll mocking Jonathan Isaac, his injury, and he saying that isn't it funny, the guy who refused to kneel immediately blew out his knee, mocking him for what he did, as if what he did and what happened to him was a punishment for kneeling, for not kneeling during that time. You see, the truth is, brothers and sisters, standing for God doesn't always guarantee immediate earthly rewards. You see, in Hebrews, it says, in the halls of faith, it begins by many who stood in faith, but it transitions in verse 35, where it says, where people of faith who took a stand for God did not receive their reward. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. And it says, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And so I want you to know that as God calls us to take a stand, God will favor us, but it may not always work out the way we think. And we need to be prepared for that. I want to look at the life of Daniel, probably a teenager who took a stand for God in the face of great pressure to compromise, to conform to a culture that he lived in. But God enabled him to take a stand in a godless culture while living in exile in the Babylonian Empire. But think about his situation for a moment. He was separated from his parents and leaving him with no parental accountability. His name was changed, right, to a Babylonian god. He was forced to learn a foreign language, literature, religion of the Chaldeans. But as I was studying this, some scholars even say that he may have been even castrated and made a eunuch, since there's no mention of his lineage. We know in reading the passage that he was placed under the supervision of the chief of eunuchs. He was offered food and wine from the king's table, which were forbidden in Hebrew dietary law. And the context with this in mind, it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, and you know this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we know the story, how that God had favored him with goodwill with the chief of eunuchs. And at the first, the eunuch, the chief of eunuchs says, you know, we can't change your diet. I mean, my head's on a line. And Daniel said, well, just test us to see if after so many days, you know, if we are worse off, then fine, we'll follow your prescription. But if not, you know, let us follow our dietary laws. And we know the story. God honored them, and they actually came out more healthier. And you know, the God blessed them. And so the Lord just favored Daniel and his three friends. And so what does it tell us? That tells us that when we honor God, God will honor us. And the Lord will be with us if we will just stand for the Lord. I want to share three principles, you know, to help us take a stand for God. And the first one we find here is that taking a stand is on purpose. Say on purpose. Notice Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart not to be defiled. He made up his mind in the God's Word translation. In the NIV, it says he resolved that he would not be defiled. You see, taking a stand begins in the heart. Daniel's decision was not something that he made on the spot. He made up his mind long before before being recruited, before being exiled, maybe even as a young boy, before he was put on the spot, he had already purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Pastors, we need to purpose in our heart. We need to purpose in our heart not to be defiled by the things of this world. We cannot afford to wait. We cannot afford to wait till we're tempted. No, we start now. Because when you purpose, you start preparing. When you purpose to live a holy life, you start preparing to live that holy life. His purpose was based on his belief and convictions to please God rather than man. He made that decision to resolve, that determination in his heart, long before he faced that prospect of being blessed with royal living. I believe in the day that we're living in, brothers and sisters, pastors, we need to purpose in our heart. You see, one day God will bless you. One day you will have a successful church. One day God will provide more than enough. But have you purposed in your heart to say, Lord, whether I'm blessed or abased, I'm contented in the Lord. So it's so unfortunate. Many times we start off, you know, humbly, and we start off serving God with nothing, and God blesses us. God helps our ministry to grow and flourish, and we have, you know, He supplies all of our needs. But somewhere along the line, we begin to take our eyes off of God, and we begin to put our eyes on ourselves and on the stuff that we've accumulated. And we worship the stuff more than the Savior. We worship things more than we worship God. We pursue materialism more than we pursue God. See, Daniel wasn't tempted by the Babylonian, you know, palace and all of the lights and the fame, and the fact that he had so much provided for him. See, Daniel's victory didn't begin when he opened his mouth. It began when he opened his heart to the pleasure of God more than the pleasures of this world. How many of you want to please God? See, that should be our one aim in life. Paul says, the one aim in my life is to please God, not to pursue the pleasures of this life. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who died for me. And the world is crucified to me. Is the world crucified to you? We're crucified to Christ, and the world's crucified to us. Are we living by the faith of the Son of God? And we all know recently how many national leaders have fallen. Don't think that it'll never happen to you. We need to start preparing ourselves and guarding our heart, because whatever happen to them, it affects all of us as well. The thoughts, the imaginations, the idea that you put into your mind and your heart, they're going to have significant impact in the way you live. The Bible warns us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The world teaches that we are the product of our environment, or that people, whatever they do is what we are, is how they impacted us and the people around us. That's why I am that I am. The Bible teaches us that we're the product of what we choose to put on the inside of us. If we choose to put truth, if we choose to put righteousness, if we choose to put the love of God on the inside, we will see the fruit of those things in our lives. We're not just passive victims. We're active moral agents. Amen? Of what we put on the inside of us is what will come out and affect society. And Daniel's purposing to not be defiled was what I believe gave him the moral courage to stand strong. How many of you believe that it's time for the church to stand strong? But how many of you know that the church will not stand strong if the pastor is not standing strong? If we want a church that's standing strong, it begins with us pastors. It begins with us leaders. Are we just going through the motions? Are we just kind of, have we just learned how to be religious, to get along? Or are we standing on the truth of God's word in our heart? See, we must prepare, we must purpose in our heart to stand right before God. That's what it meant. Daniel purposed not to defile. Really, he purposed in his heart to stand right before God. Here's the thing that I want to say. Before we can take a stand before man, we purpose in our heart to stand right before God. Because if you're not standing right before God, you're not going to have the courage to stand before man. And that's what happened. As I referenced, many who have fallen, they were trying to stand right before man, but in their heart of hearts, they weren't standing right with God. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy will exploit that. We cannot afford. We're in a warfare. We cannot afford to compromise. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, who outwardly stood for God, but inwardly they stood for themselves. He says in Matthew 23, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. Hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled with, on the inside, with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." And let's not think that that could never happen to Pentecostals. Jesus had the greatest, his greatest problems was with the religious leaders, not with the common people, not with the sinners. And before God judges the world, he's going to judge his church. And so while we're praying for revival in the world, God's saying, what about revival in your heart? What about that area in your life that you've been hiding, that you've been secretly doing? What about that area of compromise? You're preaching to your church, but on the inside, you're not living that life. The Bible says that it's not what goes into us that defiles us, but what comes out. David learned the hard way. What happens when he failed to guard his heart? After his sin with Bathsheba was exposed, his prayer of repentance was, create in me a clean heart, O God. And in verse 6 of Psalms 51, it says, behold, you desire truth on the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. How many of you know God's concern about the inside? God is concerned about what's on the inside. And so while we're concerned about what we look on the outside and how successful we are and how people perceive us, let's not lose focus on what's on the inside. He says, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, we know that David paid a huge price for not purposing in his heart to not be defiled. He should have been out there, right, with the kings fighting the battle. But instead, he stayed home. And that's when you let your guard down. When you should be fighting and have a soldier mentality. You let your guard down. That's when you give the enemy and the flesh an opportunity to pull you down. Instead of guarding his heart with a steadfast and firm spirit, he fell and committed sin and adultery. I believe we need to pray like never before to have an upright, steadfast spirit, a spirit that is immovable, unshakable, standing constantly firm in the faith. We need to purpose in our heart to be a God pleaser. Say God pleaser, not a man pleaser. We need to purpose in our heart to give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, consecrated unto him, acceptable to him. That's what we should be purposing in our heart. We should purpose in our heart to be truthful and honest with ourselves and with others. And in the epistles of 1 John, three times it says, if we say we have no sin, if we say, many times we're not honest. We say one thing, but something else is going on the inside. And what God wants is truth on the inward parts. We need to be honest with ourselves. Amen. Come on, how many of you know God knows who you are? We're not fooling anyone. And if you know that you've got areas that needs to be surrendered to the Lord, if there's areas that you're struggling, first of all, you've got to acknowledge that. You need to repent, ask God to help you. And then if you can't do it on your own, you go out and seek for a mentor, seek for counsel, seek someone that can help you to not just brush it aside and act like everything's okay, because it's not okay. Pastors, we need to be honest with ourselves and seek help if we need help. Because your congregation is depending upon you to walk that straight and narrow path. I dread to think of the responsibility that I have. When I think about the little kids that walk down the aisle, our preschoolers, and they walk down in the morning, "Hi, Pastor Ko, hi, Pastor Ko." They're so cute. And the youth, and the young adults, and the Lord, I need your grace, because I don't ever want to cause any one of these little ones to stumble. When I was called into the ministry and I knew I would have children and raise them up, here was a commitment to the Lord. God, I never want my kids to ever say, "Dad, you preached it in a pulpit, but you never lived it at home." I said, "God, I want to be the same man, you know, in the pulpit at home." And that was my commitment. I said, "God, I don't ever want my kids to ever turn their back on you and say, 'Dad, you preached it, but you never lived it.'" What a responsibility we have, pastors. Come on. We need to purpose in our heart. Say purpose in our heart. Secondly, taking a stand is not popular. It takes courage to take a stand for truth. Jesus didn't come to the world to be popular, but to preach the gospel of truth. The gospel Jesus preached wasn't a feel-good message. Well, of course, peace and all of that, but it wasn't ultimately a feel-good. His message was a call to repentance. Repentance from the lies and the falsehoods, to come and follow him, which is truth and righteousness. The gospel Jesus preached was a countercultural message. One party says he didn't come, he came to bring a sword. Sometimes his word will divide, will separate. So it takes courage to take a stand against the grain of our culture. Someone once says, being a Christian in our time means to go against the current of the majority. But how many of you know truth is worth fighting for? We can't afford to be content just to go with the flow in society, just because the world tries to make evil seem acceptable by legalizing it. It doesn't make it right. And we've got to teach our people that. Just because society legalizes marijuana doesn't make it right. Just because they legalize alcohol, it doesn't make it right. Just because they legalize same-sex marriage doesn't make it right. And we're called to be the salt and the light. Daniel purposed in his heart to stand on the word of God. Not on what's popular. Not on what's acceptable. But to stand on the word of God. Now, he didn't take a stand on everything, right? He was deported to a foreign land. There's no sign of resistance. He didn't fight and say, "No way, I'm never going to go to Babylon and fight to the death." No, he didn't fight. They changed his name. They made him attend the school that taught all about the foreign gods and the Babylonian culture. But when they offered him food, that was something else. That was not acceptable to the Hebrew dietary laws. That's when he took a stand, because in the Word of God, right, it talks about kosher and unkosher foods. But you notice that he took a stand with wisdom and grace. He asked for permission, and just God gave him wisdom to protest, right? To make his convictions known. And they there was no doubt, you know, the food that they were eating. There was, some would say that the king's food was defiled because first it was not kosher. Secondly, it probably was sacrificed to idols. And thirdly, eating the king's food implied fellowship with Babylonian cultural system. And so this was an area that Daniel said, hey, all of these other areas, you know, I've allowed, but there's one point where Daniel took a stand. And so he took a stand, and we know the story. The Lord gave him favor. But in the same way, we've got to take a stand on the truth of God's word. You see, what divides our culture is not so much our political views, but our views on truth. The world views, the world's view of truth is that everything's relative. Just be tolerant. Just accept everything. There's no absolutes. But how many of us know there is absolutes? God's word is absolute. And so Daniel took a stand when it was clear that it violated God's word. How many of us would agree that we need to stand in the gap for the soul of our nation? We are living in critical times. We need to take a stand before it's too late. It's like the handwriting on the wall that Daniel interpreted for King Belteshazzar, where it says, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the scale and found wanting. I believe God is weighing America. And if we don't repent and turn back to Him, the numbers of our days will be brought to an end. Not totally destroyed, but this God's going to begin to bring more judgment if we don't repent and turn back to Him as a nation. And I find interesting, one of the sins that was addressed to Belteshazzar was that they praised the God of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, and stone. It says in Daniel 5, verse 23, it says, you praise the God of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, stone, which cannot see or hear or understand, but you did not honor the God who holds in His hand your life and all your ways. We're living in a critical time in our nation. My heart grieves. My heart breaks. So we need to take a stand. We need to stand in the gap. Can I hear an amen? We need to take a stand and contend for God's destiny for our nation. Stand in faith. Stand for faith, family, and freedom. And there's this handout we're going to give to you on the way out. And I really want to encourage you to pray, take a stand. There's a bill that's being considered called H.R. 5 that passed the House of Representatives that if it passes, will redefine gender, male and female, to include sexual orientation, gender identity. It'll require owners of all establishment to open to the public and comply, force faith-based organizations to hire employees who do not share their belief, threaten our religious freedom and free speech, require all organizations to open to public, to the public, to open up their bathrooms to whatever gender they identify with, to undermine parental rights and instructions, and it goes on and on and on. Now, taking a stand doesn't mean we have to be arrogant or condescending, but it does mean that we need to make our speak and let our voice be heard, We need to call our representative. We need to, most importantly, we need to pray and stand in the gap. Can I hear an amen? And the last thing is we need to taking a stand on the promises of God. We need to, taking a stand is on purpose. We need to purpose in our heart. Taking a stand will not always be popular, but taking a stand must be on the promises of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. We need to stand firm in the faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, we want to work together with you so you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. I believe we need to stand firm because the only way we can stand firm is by faith. How many of you know faith can turn our weakness into strength? Amen. And in fact, Isaiah says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Daniel took a stand by faith, trusting God to perform all of his promises. We don't have any guarantees. But how many of you know God is faithful? We don't have any guarantees how it's going to turn out, but my Bible says God is faithful even when I'm faithless, and he works all things out for good. And, so God gave favor to Daniel, and the Lord says that if you will honor me, I will honor you. He told that Samuel to speak to Eli. When Eli put his sons before God, the prophet said, those who honor me, I will honor. Pastors, if you will take a stand and honor God, God will honor you. So I go back to Jonathan Isaac, who took a stand. And you would think, man, he took a stand. God, why did you let that happen? It would have been such a great testimony. He could have had a great year. But now he must be really bummed. He must be ready to throw in the towel. I risked it for you, God. I went out there. I took a stand. And why did you let this happen? Now I'm so embarrassed. People are mocking me. And for a lot of people, that would be a downer. That would be, well, man, that's the last time I'm going to take a stand. But I came across a post interview of these guys that were interviewing Jonathan Isaac. And I just got some excerpts of that interview. Just listen and be blessed by his attitude after his injury.
First off, my relationship with him, but just in my own mind, I'm learning things about myself in terms of times I see what it is that's going on that's so wrong and so terrible, but I have to say that the answer is deeper than white versus black. The answer is deeper than, like I said, men versus women, or old versus young. And the problem really does go to the hearts of men, and it's a sin issue that it goes to the hearts of men. And if we would turn our hearts back to God, then we would see a tremendous change.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's all stand. Watch and stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. And you notice what he said. He did everything out of love. And the Bible says, let all that you do be done out of love. You see, he took a stand because, number one, he knew what the real issue was. It was a sin issue. And he took a stand because he loved the people that were lost in their sin. And if he didn't take a stand, then the truth would not, he would not have an opportunity to share the truth. Pastors, I challenge all of us, and many of you are, we need to purpose in our heart to take a stand. It's going to get tough. It's getting even tougher. But we cannot, like last night we heard, wasn't that a powerful message? We have nothing to lose. We have to stand on principles, not on what's popular. We have to stand on the promise that when we honor God, God will honor us. When Stephen stood and he was stoned to death, he took a stand, and guess who stand with him? He looked up and Jesus was standing. God will stand with you, even when you are persecuted for what you stand for. And I believe today God's calling us as pastors. And I want to end this time by all of us, just as we worship the Lord. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know if there's areas in your life where there's been some compromise. Or maybe fear has crept in and you're afraid to speak the truth. You're afraid to stand for what the Bible says because of the cancel culture. But I'm calling us. How many of you would like to see revival come to this state? Can I hear an amen? It's the only way it's gonna come when we purpose in our heart to take a stand. We have to be brave. It's gonna require courage. But if we honor God, God will honor us. Let's just worship the Lord. And if you want to come up and just commit yourself to the Lord, put on your mask and just come on up. But I just want to open up. I want to close by us just consecrating ourselves, our church. And if you can, just slip out from where you are. And I want to pray over all of us as we come to the close of this time together. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord.
So what can I say? What can I do? But offer the sorrow completely.
Completely to you.
So I'll stand with arms.
You know, if there's one thing that the pandemic has done, we heard this from Pastor Choco, it's revealed what was on the inside of us. It revealed, for the most part, either your faith was strong or was weak. There are those that are still, in a sense, spiritually shut in by fear. Pastors, we have to rise up in faith and challenge our people to overcome that fear. In Revelation, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. COVID is not the end. Come on, COVID doesn't have the last say. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is still living. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. COVID is not the end. Jesus is the end. And as much as we want to feel, you know, and understand, we've got to rise up and stand in faith. Challenge your people to stand in faith. And if our faith has been shaken, pastors, then we need to say, God, fill me with courage. Fill me with strengthen my faith so I can strengthen my people's faith. Give me wisdom to know how to pivot and to lead us through this victoriously. I share with my church, we made this band, COVID, Christ means Christ over viruses and infectious disease. And I've worn this since the day of the shutdown. 1 year, I don't normally wear accessories, but I refuse to let COVID rule my life. Amen. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen? COVID is under the feet of Jesus. It's real. I'm not this diminishing it, but I will not let COVID rule my life. So we need to really, COVID has revealed a lot of things. But the one thing I think we need to all acknowledge is it's revealed where our faith is. And I pray that through it we've come out stronger. Amen? I believe that what COVID has done is really brought us face to face with a lot of things that are really important and things that are not important. And but I believe it's COVID, what the enemy has meant for evil, he will turn it around for good. God will turn it around for good. I believe our greatest day for the church is right ahead. I really believe. I'm not just saying it. I am excited about the remainder of this year and what is ahead. Yeah, we see all of that happening, but I refuse to let all the stuff in the world. Because there's always going to be stuff going on in the world. Right. But in the midst of all that stuff, the church rises up to be a shining light. Amen. When darkness covers the earth and deep darkness to the people, the glory of the Lord will rise upon the church. And the church will arise and shine. So let's stand and arise and shine. Amen. Lift your hand up. Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord. And we purpose that we will not be defiled. We purpose now. We purpose, Lord. We will not be defiled by sin, by materialism, by the things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the heart, and the pride of life. Lord, we purpose that we will not be defiled. Lord, consecrate our heart. And Lord, we choose to be consecrated unto you, Lord. Help us to guard our heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. Father, we purpose to stand even when it's not popular. Even in our own church and in our own community, we might get a little flack. But Lord, if we know we're standing upon the Word of God, help us to be brave to stand strong on the Word of God. Help us to stand on your promise that says, when we honor you, you will honor us. That we're not standing alone. That if God be for us, who can be against us? Father, I thank you, Lord. Seal your words, I pray. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you.